Great job, great encounter, page 167. The love of Christ is rich and free, fixed on his own eternity, nor earth nor hell can do, long as he lives his own heal love. 633.
Thank you. She said, I'll tell you what. She said a few years ago, you preach from this word, is anything too hard for the Lord? And she said, at that time I got some things that were so hard I felt that I could never and would never come out of them. So much distress, so much trouble, she said, that the trials at which she was in were like mountains. But she said, that night, you lay all straight. And she said, you preach me out the other side. And the dear woman, she went all the way home that night rejoicing. And she felt such a sweet union to my poor heart. She said, and I've never lost it. And to me, that was a wonderful thing. And I find it several years to hear that. You know, it's right. And I say this to you in love tonight. If the Lord favours you through any of the servants of God, in God's time, and you pray for the time, you tell them. You may say, oh, but I'm afraid of their pride, that it might lift them up. You tell them, sinner, and leave the pride with God, because he'll deal with that. He will. He knows what the ground one is serves, so put them in the dust. You tell them, because it's only right. They get ever so much opposition and that which is against. So give them a little bit of encouragement from time to time. I know the Lord could give them their penny, he could give them the encouragement they need, but it's only right that his dear people should speak, as they did regarding Paul's ministry. There's a wonderful record of where the people heard the word of power recorded in Scripture through the preaching of the Paul. So what about this view? The Lord knows, and the servants of God that stand in slaves in pulpit, the union that each of you people feel toward, or any other people. And the way this union is manifest is through the Lord expecting, using them in your heart, because you have a special union. It creates a bond. Now, I haven't thought of mentioning this tonight. Now, there was a blessed bond between Abel here in Thessalonica and the dear Apostle Paul, because he had gone and he had preached unto them a precious Christ. And as he preached the precious Jesus to them, Christ was made exceedingly precious for these dear hearers' hearts. Now this blessed union was manifest. Now where there's a union, there's a stand through ever so many storms. It'll be dry, but it'll still stand. Or had the trials to pass through regarding this union, but there's still stood that I wasn't carrying on that. So between them then there was a wonderful union. And then he exhorts them what they should do. Finally, brethren, pray for the Lord. You may say, did the apostle, the great and eminent man that he was in the ministry, need and the bridegroom? I suggest this to him. He needed them, sin. This is why he called them the bridegroom. And how much as we venture before you tonight, the poor sinner needed a bridegroom here tonight. Pray for them. you think every time you come into the field, how often do you pray the servant of God? I trust my strangers right me tonight in the love of God and the fear of God. And I've got a few that do cry me along in the name. Yes, a few. Obviously, it could be used to say you about a pen, your best hand, your best friend, or one hand. The others are acquaintances, but he said they are the ones that cry you along. Now, I feel quite firstly concerned with the ministry, we need to be prayed along. You pray the servants of God along while they're preaching. Pray them along before they get to the house of God. Pray them along in their life, in pathway that they tread, both in their family, and all that concern them, I need to be prayed along. I believe that many people don't realise what many of the servants of God are even when they go in the pulpit. What I mean is this. You may think that the servants of God are preaching, well, they haven't got troubles that you have. They are not in the darkness that you're in, but you don't know. Sometimes you know they can go in the pool and they can feel in so much darkness, so much distress of soul, they wonder whether they've got anything that's real at all.
You think when you go up as a hearer, you're in a season of darkness and distress and trouble, and you feel everything's against you. You seem such a burden, such a concern just to go and sin the field. How would you feel if you've got to go and preach? You need to cry them along. They may be under such a heavy weight, they wonder whether they're ever overcome. The trouble will come through it at all. I know they can't overcome it themselves, but he tells us in the Word of God them that overcome in Revelation, him that overcome. And every one of God's people will overcome the trials of the journey through the precious Jesus, because he overcome all. And there are times when they go into the pulpit under much opposition. This opposition comes from our own hearts. There'll be times when the servants of God stand in the pulpit and fall in. When Satan stood by him and was there to buffet him. You consider tonight the times when the servants of God may minister from this pulpit, and there Satan is by the side telling them it's all lies. And that's how real the temptation will be. Or pray for them in the hours of temptation. Because Satan, you know, can gather with God's people. He did in the day of Job, you know, Satan was there too. And he'll try and overthrow everything that's real. If you've got anything that's of God, Satan will do all he can to try and overthrow it. Because he hates reality. He hates those things that are of God and of the blessed spirit. Or pray for us. Pray for us too. Well, we may be in secret in meditation. It's right we should meditate. I know I'm not a man, but sit there in a sun hand, every man to his own order. I don't condemn it at all, because meditation is a wonderful thing. But I know this, there are times when really we
proudly to the heads of God when the Lord gets on holds the work. And there's a sweet inward meditation there. The best meditation you can have seen in the servants of God is that which you've got at heart. Where you meditate upon the wonders of His grace. Now pray the Lord in that meditation. And then pray for them that they might come into your pathway experience. It's a wonderful thing, you know, when the servants of God come for you. You think of that dear man in the Gospel of Palamon Thieves. The priests, the Levite, they passed him by on the other side. And maybe many that pass you by on the other side. What your desire is for the come where you are, especially in the ministry, the servant of God, come where you are. Because there's an overall of it. It may be in the immensity of the text, and he comes right where you are. But a certain Samaritan has a journey, came where you are. What it is when the servants of God are coming to this pulpit, and as soon as they announce the text, they come to your heart. Brethren, pray for it. All it is so necessary for the servants of God to be prayed upon. They feel to die. Why? There's not the liberty that they used to be. I know there is. Now, I know there is a sweet liberty of the Spirit still to die. The Holy Spirit is still working. But for the most part, there is bondage both in the pulpits and in the pews. And there's a reason. And the reason is that, one reason is this. The lack of prayer in the hearts of the people. In Moses' time, when he was leading the children of Israel, he knew what it was to be ever so weak. He knew what it was to be ever so helpless. And he needed the people to help him in the journey. A hymn writer said that when Moses stood with arms stretched wide, success was found on Israel's side. What success and what prosperity is there in your heart and in the church here and congregation in Slavesea and in my own at home and in Zion generally? There's not a lot of prosperity, is there? What's the reason? Is there not a cause, David? What prayer is there? Now, when Moses stood with arms stretched wide, success was found. Now, if they're held up, you see, there will be success. But when through weariness they fell and failed from that moment, so necessary that the servants of God hand be held up, because success will be bad there on Israel's side. But you know, as soon as they begin to fail and to fall in Moses' day, the enemy provided all the necessity. Brethren, cry for us. May this be a word in seed both to me and to you this evening. Pray, Lord. You may be for the future. Then we go further, not just for the servants of God, but for across for areas that have allowed us to bear office in the church. Wonderful thing, you know, for the deacons. I pray that God would raise up godly exercise deacons that know the truth and that know what they hear. But I'll tell you what, let me be brave enough. Pray with me. You may think often as a deacons go and take their position at the desk or even speaking public prayer. That's all it entails. My dear friends, if that's all you think, you're mistaken. You don't know half the inward exercise of soul that there is in a God-given deacon. Because he has some nights of wrestling before God. He has some nights of tussles with Satan, where the devil's telling him continually, he gave out all the wrong hymns on the Sabbath. Cry, Lord. Oh, what prayer is there for the officers of the Church of God? Pray the Lord will keep them in the hours of temptation. Pray to the Lord to keep them humble, keep them Christ-like, keep them clothed in humility, keep them tender. It's a wonderful thing, you know, to have a tender heart. Oh, I pray we mourn. I mourn because of the hardness of my heart. But you know, the Lord can soften his feet. I like that word, Joe, it's a sweet word. For the Lord made it my heart soft. When was the last time you had a soft heart? Oh, it's a sweet thing, you know, to have a heart with a soft heart. I can be the hardest of characters, naturally speaking, and yet I can be the softest of hearts. Because God got a song in our heart. And then pray for this, the unity of the Spirit in the bond of faith. The poet said, when is it Christians all agree? When nothing in themselves they say, and Christ is all in. Won't be any division, any trouble, if he's all in all. There should be, and I pray for it more and more, a striving for the lowest seat. This is what Paul ever strove for. He loved that would have willingly ever taken the lowest seat. The Lord kept him as an army. If only we got the religion that Paul had, because Paul's religion was real. And if your praying character for soul, it's only while you pray you live. If there's no prayer, there's no life. And makes all the difference to the servants of God in preaching. Because they are made of man great. If it's real light in the field and drawing out of the Son of God. I remember preaching my own blog, it must be a few years ago now, about 5 or 6, I think. One Tuesday night, it's just an hour that I stood up and preached, the Lord opened the window again. I should never begin. Poured into my heart and I just opened my mouth to deliver the message. The dear woman came outside and she was an old pillar in the church, really. I love her, a true son. And she saved in the name Jesus, saved you, and all that kind, direct from heaven. And I say to her this, I say to James, I say it was you and those that were in this tonight that made you, because you drew it out. And that's a blessed thing, to make the sermons of God. How do you come into the chapel even this evening? Do you try the spirits to see if they be of God? Wonderful thing when that's the exorcism. You want those things seen in the fear of God, and then they do you good. Brethren, pray for them. And then he gave the reason why. That the word of the Lord may have free course. This is why they need to be prayed for all the sons of God, that the word of the Lord might have free course. You know, in these sort of guardians, there's so much to hinder the word. And it is a blessed thing if there's that prayer that the servants of God might be at liberty. He doesn't need much in a chapter to bring bondage. He may be just one person with a bad spirit. He creates a barrier of bondage. He was in bondage. He said, I couldn't understand you. I was never like you anywhere else. But when he went to this place, he was always in prison. It seemed just as though he got there, he was shut up. He said there was nothing visible to him. He couldn't point out what was wrong. And he went for several times. And then suddenly, after it being several years, and the Sundays he used to go, he went to the man who used to play the organ. They'd been removed by death. And he went into the pulpit and preached. He was like a different man. He said, I'm now absolutely free. Now the Lord had removed that man. Just one man in that congregation, he said, that was such a solemn thing to me. Why? He didn't know what was the reason for the bond. But he went in the pulpit that night and was like a different man. He was absolutely free. Now that to me is a most solemn thing. Oh, you think in your heart, if the servants of God that may stand to you in any other chapel were bad, you look to the grave. Remember thy Savior, the hero servant of God, pray. Thy love, the true Son, I've known him came many years. But this particular Monday evening, I've never heard that he had had such bondage. He was just as though he was in prison. But there was one thing he did to learn. I sat in that pew and sat in that chair. And I felt on it as I sat there that he was here. And he made me pour out my heart before God. And I said this, Lord, if it's me that's causing him the bondage, do remove me out of his sight. Sad of heart. It troubled me that I was a hindrance. He did concern. So when you sit in the pew, if a man's in bondage, you pray him alongside and pray the Lord that set him free. that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. Because if a man's anointed with spirit to preach and he's in bondage of a reasonable, he may well enough not blame the minister for it. He may be the Lord's minister. For times I know with me, because of my unbelief and the vileness of my heart, I stand amazed that the Lord ever gives me any liberty at all. But I know this. There are times when one person could put me in prison. And that's right. Rest in the great waters, because there's nothing. All that the servants of God might experience the prayers of God's people, crying them along, crying them into the pulpit, up the steps, crying for them as they go through the service, especially as they've been to preach the word, that the word might have free course, that there may be nothing to hinder. Because if it's free course, there should be nothing to hinder. The word's brilliant. Now I know that often the bondage is with us. I know it's not with God. The bondage is with us. Because God's word is with man. But he brings his servants into places where there is bondage. Yet his words are there. I'll be very straight. You can come into a situation, the servants of God know what it is, or to be shut up and in prison, and yet the word of the Lord be free. Look in the Revelations. John has confined to an island, and now island was Patmos. He was put there just like a prisoner. Shut up on an island on his own. But you know, the word of God was to man. The word of God is still recorded and will be until the end. The word was the word of God, the bondage run with God. Look to the case of John Bunyan. Shut up in Bedford Jail. In bondage, you may say, but the word of God on man. And the word of Pilgrim's Progress that he wrote there will stand down to the end of time because it was God's word, the word of man. The servants of God may come into a situation both in their lives and experiences, or even in a pool, and the bondage be with them, but God's word is not there. It's absolutely true. Now you cry to the word by that free Lord. Don't do anything to hinder the course of God's word. There's so much to hinder it. Our unbelief hinders it. But all of the word will have free voice. Brethren and free voice. That the word of the Lord, God's word, may have free voice. And Margin says, may run. In other words, let anything get in its way. And that's a sweet thing when the spring comes. Because the word will enter in the heart of the thing. It's free comes. Nothing to enter. That's a sweet liberty. Now I just want a word further regarding liberty. And that is, there's nothing. sleep tonight, and God will keep an angel up over here like an antipocket to the veils of prayer. You might have many things in your heart and experience and life to God that you're in bondage. You know the Lord can set you free in a moment. You know what they said when the Lord Jesus said to Lazarus, or said to them, the grave of Lazarus? He said this: loose him and let him go. Now, if the Lord speaks that into your heart, see that tonight you will be free. You are no longer liberty. He was bound, hanged, and put with grave clothes. And his mouth was bound about with a napkin. He couldn't speak. But you know, when he was loose, he was absolutely free. Oh, I cry to the God who sends honor, both to the servants of God and to those in the churches and in the congregations, the sweet liberty of the Spirit. Because if the Son shall make you free, then are you free indeed. Paul does nothing like that. How often do you cry for those who are bound? The Lord has set me free. And I be bound in the world, the chain of sight. I may be in the bondage of the Lord. I may be in bondage because of unbelief. I may be in bondage because of their sin. But let me say this: the Lord has power to set you free. And when he sets free, you'll be free indeed. You will. And the sweet liberty will be known in your heart. You'll be like a bird that ever comes. He's absolutely free. There's nothing to hinder him. He can go on this course rejoicing. Brethren, then, pray for us that the word of the Lord, the word through the servants of God, might have free glory and be glorified. Now it will be glorified. That which God speaks will be glorified. What he does, it'll have a blessing of the Lord. That which he brought in Lazarus redounded to his honor and his glory. May you and I ever know that glory in our hearts, that we might glorify his blessed name. Paul said that in the glory, glory in the Lord. Now do you desire the word might have free course and be glorified? Because then, if God glorifies them, you have a blessed effect in your heart and mind, a blessed effect upon the church, because his name will be praised. Even as it is with you. Now this was with the people in Thessalonica, and I pray that it may be with you in Spain. Even as it was with them, that they could pray the servants of God, but pray for Paul, but pray now. And may the Lord help you to pray the servants. church of God alone, and cry the office of the church alone, and cry one for another. Oh, my, you cry one another alone, a high word. It's a wonderful thing, you know, to have those that cry for the people of God, and cry them alone, because these are strength to any cause, and they're a strength to a church, and a strength to the servants of God, because they carry them. And if Jesus is out, we have a true friend whose mercy endures the sign of the need. Our comforts may vary, and our brain may decline, but we count this carry wrong. Our eye is divine.
God willing, Mr. Hill is expected to preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Oakley next Wednesday evening. But God willing, their brief church meeting tomorrow evening commences at 6:30. Let us close the singing hymn number 373.
your heart and thanks that which is being known. Now at my feet with cries of all, pray that I serve as a room. All who hear me cry and have heard me. Say the Father in arms as we pray. May I by the grace of the Lord Jesus, the Lord of God, the sweet fellowship, the communion of the Holy Spirit, be with us now and forever.